The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And after 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. We read in Shakespeare works of Romeo and Juliet where it says, "What's in a name? For a rose by any other name is still a rose." And I wanted to see if we can question that a little bit, because a name is something that we put on something that we try to capture its essence. We try to elicit from its essence what it really means, and so we give names. We give names to everything. Have you noticed that? We give names to our cats. We give names to our dogs. We give names to our car. We give names. Sometimes Maria and I give names to bugs in the house, you know? Like the little long-legged ones that go in the bathroom, and you see them up there in the ceiling somewhere in the corner. Depending how straight their legs are, the name, if they're straight, the legs are straight, we give them an elegant name. You know, like Janice or something. Or if the legs are a little small and they're running around, we say, you know, there goes Margaret running around. And so we give it all kinds of names, because by giving it a name, we're not humanized by it, but we made it more available to us in our human nature. We give it characteristics. We look at it, it suddenly becomes a little creature. It's not just an insect, something that you either swap out of your way or something that you ignore. It becomes a living, breathing thing. You see it and suddenly you feel like, wow, this little character has personality. It's even funny. And suddenly it brings a whole different world to your availability, because you have given it a name. Now, people give names to everything, especially one of the most challenging things for parents to do is give a name to their children. It could be a very exciting time of life, but it also be a very stressful time, especially if mom and dad have different ideas about a name. I had names for my kids, and God forbid I gave them the real names, because if they did, they wouldn't like it. My daughter said to me, "Don't you ever call me that." Because I wanted to call her Rashida, my youngest girl, Rashida. I think it's just a beautiful name. It's so elegant, you know. And then, of course, the mother decided to call her, you know, Jenny. And which I thought was a real step down, you know. But anyway, I wanted to give her that name. And she said to me, "Dad, thank God you didn't give me that name. I wouldn't be able to live with that name, you know." But people give names to their children. And why? How do they do that? Sometimes they, you know, they remember an aunt. They remember an uncle. They remember somebody in their life. They remember a biblical personality. And they want to be able to give that name, because somehow they want to be able to create a resonance between that wonderful person and your child. And traditions have it. For instance, the Jewish tradition will generally name a child after an uncle or an aunt who passed away, and they hope that the qualities of that aunt and the qualities of that uncle might resonate with the child, and so they go on with these kinds of things. So we name the Indian, the Native American Indian, as you know, name the children with the first sight that they see when the child is born, like Sitting Bull, you know, Walking Rooster, you know, Climbing Lamb, you know, all the like weird names, you know, but they give them because it's the moment that they were born. It's an instant. It's something they're trying to capture the essence of life happening right before you. And so people give names to things. And so, but what I'm afraid of is that the care that we used to give names, because it was so important, it was almost a sacred act. It's become mundane today. Perhaps people just give names, you know, especially if you have like 5 or 6 children, you say, okay, John, James, Jimmy, Johnny. You know, it doesn't take much to give names to kids, because you just want to give them a name of some sort. But we've missed the sacred moment of being able to give a name, because when you give a name, you give a character, you give an essence, you give something by which you relate to each other. Now, you know, if we came into the world and we didn't have names for things, we'd be totally confused, wouldn't we? The name of a street helps us all to refer to one street. The name of a nation helps us all to refer to a particular nation. a particular disease, all of us can say, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Oh, my God, I have it myself. But it gives us a sense of feeling close together, to relate. It allows us, that name allows us to kind of gather around it and feel it and understand it. And then the meaning that we all attribute to it to rise between us and all, between all of us. But the names that we give to people are very significant, and it was even so, more so in the time of Jesus and even in the Jewish people. The reason why boys were given the name their name at circumcision, which is called Bris Milah, which is given at the eighth day, was primarily done because the child could die, and many children would die very early. And so if he made it to 8 days, he might make it another month. And so what they did is they gave the name. And so at that time, they gave the name to Jesus. And this, by the, what it says in the gospel, it says the angel was the angel Gabriel. Remember when he went to Mary and he said, you're going to bear a son and you're going to name him Jesus, and he will be among his people. He will save his people from all trouble. He will bring light and so forth and so on. The idea of being named by an angel is something that is exquisite. Something that is even more important during the time of the Jewish people. And so that when Jesus was named, he was named by God's messenger. God gave Jesus the name because Jesus was going to, his essence was going to be lived out in what he did and how he lived his life, how he liberated people, how he brought people to new lands. Because the name of Jesus is also Joshua. And when you look at the name Joshua in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, Joshua was the one that picked up the work of Moses, you remember? Moses led them to the edge of the promised land, but he couldn't go in. That's one of the most painful stories, moving stories. But anyway, he was not able to take the people in, but then Joshua took them forward. So Joshua brought the people into a new land. Joshua was bringing a whole new set of experiences to the people. And he was breaking new ground. He was opening new ventures and venues for the people. And so when we think of the word Jesus, I like to refer to that not in two ways. God is with us, but God is opening adventures to us. God is bringing us over boundaries. God is bringing us into a new land, into a new place, into a new world of experiences. And it's so apropos for this time of the year when we are looking at, we're looking at a possibility. We're looking into the future. Now this is the beginning of a new year. God only knows we've had many problems in 2016. Many of us have had different kinds of wounds we had to endure, different kinds of losses, different kinds of pains to manage, different kinds of hardships to live with. But 2017 is the beginning of a new year, and it helps us to think that Jesus, Joshua, is going to bring us into a new place. It's going to bring us into a new land. It's going to bring us to a place where things can be better. Things could be richer, more meaningful, more important for us. But we have to want to accept the name. We want to accept that reality. We want to accept that invitation. Because a name is a name. By any other name, a rose is a rose, right? But the rose, perhaps, is the quality that Jesus is opening to us. An opening in which life can be filled with new possibilities, filled with new adventures, filled with new surprises, rather than the repeat of the same thing. We go into the same year or to a new year many times with the same attitude. You know, it's just another day for us. It's the same repeat. It's the same syndrome that we follow in our lives where day after day we do the same things and we experience the same experiences and we think the same thoughts. Why not allow yourself to be adventurous this time and take on the new year with new eyes and with a new heart and with a new sense of expectation that things will change in a new way, that you can realize new dreams and experiences. We need to think this way because if we don't, you know why? We'll sink. we'll shrivel up. We cannot live in the past. We are not a people of the past. We are a people of the future where light and truth wait us, but we have to embody it. We have to invite it. We have to create it. We have to push it forward and make it real. We have to step over that boundary that Joshua stepped over. And he went from the older way of living to a new way, where he had been learning about God and trusting God and learning God's way. Now it's the application. Now he's moving into a land that God had given them, that God is inviting them to take control, that God is asking them to live in that land in the way he has taught them. So all the challenges that come from that new book, the book of Joshua, is where all things become new, all things become a challenge. But their hearts are open to it. They're ready. They're willing. 430 years they spent in the desert. 430 years they suffered. And they wanted, they couldn't wait to cross. Do you remember Moses? Moses tells God, he says, God, let me at least see the land. And God says, okay, come up to the mountain. And he goes to the mountain and he says, take a look. And look, and he describes how far and wide the beautiful land is going to be, you know. And he says, this is the land that I give you. This is the opportunity that I give you. This is the newness that I give you. This is the fresh creation that I give you. Can you see that your life is a fresh creation? That your next day is a new reality? I think we suffer from the same doggone thing syndrome. And what I mean is that we keep repeating our own disasters. We keep repeating our own sorrows. We keep repeating our own limitations. And this is not what the gospel is about. The gospel is the good news that you're entering into a new land. You're entering into a new space. You're entering into new relationships and a new self-definition of who you are. That's another point that is very important, because sometimes you define yourself by your name. And sometimes if you have a good name, a name that's open and gives you a wider purview, if you identify yourself with that, then maybe you can even see beyond. You can see that, live into the name, try it, and experiment with it. But we tend to fall back into the patterns of our existence. And with that pattern of our existence, there's depression, there's routine, and there's no excitement. And this is what we are always up against, especially as you get older. I mean, when you're young, hormones kick in. You've got all kinds of things you've got to do, right? You've got to reproduce. You've got to raise your children. You've got to pay bills. You've got to establish yourself. What happens when all of that is gone? What happens when all of that is settled? Where is the center of your being? Where is the crux of your created nature? When God named you, and it says in the book of Revelation that God will give you a brand new name. He'll give you a brand new name that nobody else will know, which means he gives you a whole new orientation. He's making you in a new way. But now we are in the process of doing that, and we follow the new name. We follow the name that God gave Jesus, God with us, God among us, God leading us into new places. And this is the people who we are, one who trusts in that possibility that Jesus opens to us. That new land, that new creation, that new experience that God is giving us. And trust in that. And don't live in the past. Don't live in the same routine that you've lived last year. I love when people say, well, this year I'm going to change. This year I'm going to do things that I didn't do last year. I'm going to go to gym. I'm going to stop eating fatty foods. You know what? I'm going to start writing more letters. I'm going to talk to my mother again. My sisters and friends, I'm going to reach out to them, you know. My enemies, I'm going to try my best. You know, they're just words. They're just words. What does that mean to mouth these words unless you actually want to change? Do you know that what you do affects people? You really matter. Do you know that what you say, what you think, how you look, what you project affects people, changes people, creates an environment around you? People react to you. You are very powerful. You are very important. You have a lot of meaning and strength in who you are and what you do. And so you can recreate your whole environment all over again. Where do we lose the ability to believe that? You know, the world was wonderful when we were children. Remember, every adventure was a new world for us. We did things and the world was just so full of possibility. Where did we lose that? Where did it go? Did we start making a salary? Do we start thinking ourselves at the level of our education? Do we measure ourselves by the relationships we have and then that's it? Or by the irks and pains of our body? As we get older, we figure, I can't do much more. I'm not even worth it. Who says that that's the reality? Who says that you're limited to that? Who says that you're bound to what you were? That you are bound to your experiences that you've had in your life and that's all that you can be? That is not the message of the gospel. The gospel says there's still so much before you. You want to know where you're living? Because there's still something for you to do. There's still adventures, there's still experiences, there's still things that you're responsible for in this world. But you got to follow the name that is above all names, the name that changes the reality from past into future into a new creation. That is who we follow. These are the people who we are. We are the people of the name, Jesus, the one that leads us into a whole new land. Leads us into a whole new reality. Takes us to places we've never been before. How are you going to look at your new year? Really, are you going to look at it with the same old eyes? Think about it. This is such a, you know, I mean, I almost got depressed. You know, because I think about 2017 and all the things that could happen. And I said to myself, oh, man, I'm going to get so depressed. I'm going to sit by the fire and drink. Right? That's what I'm going to do. But I figured, no. No, I have a say in this. I have a responsibility in this. I have a claim to this. I have a measure of what I can do that can make a difference in this. And I will not go down silently. And I hope you don't either. There's so many more things we can accomplish in our lives. There's so many loves that we can have, so many adventures, so many new experiences. Look at those things. For in them you will find the God that leads you through them. In there you will find the God that is with you in those moments. And so this year, look at it with a whole new pristine, with a whole, name it. Name it blessing. Name it adventure. Name it possibility. Name it creation. Name it new. Name it hope. Name it love. Name it God.